Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. We're not buying Newcastle after all. We'll just get you a lovely new defender. It's Thursday, the 10th of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm James Edward Campbell.
And I'm Vishen Antaraja.
Hello, before we consider that, you may already know that we have some updates for you. The new season is upon us in hardly any minutes. And we're delighted to tell you that we're going to be continuing to bring you these five shows a week with a rotating lineup of three of the eight of us every day. We are also launching a brand new channel. That channel is Football Ramble Presents. It features weekly episodes of On the Continent, regular episodes of The Book Club, At the Match, and plenty more exciting new shows. Ooh, the first show is a brand new episode of On the Continent, which is out today. So go and search Football Ramble Presents, please, and subscribe wherever you get your pods. Get on it right now. Guys, good to see you, James Edward.
Yeah, I just wanted to try out having a long name in the intro.
Bit unkind.
Well, you know, I'm quite a cruel man, as is well known. But yeah, I liked it. So
it's good, isn't it?
It is. It's nice.
It feels quite empowering.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was stressful.
I mean, it can be. I mean, that was pretty stressful. And, you know, I don't have a middle name, but I wonder if it's because it's a bit like Pangaea. Maybe I did, and then it broke off and joined my first
nice.
And surname.
Yeah, you've lost the name.
Yeah, but no, it's quite thrilling. Also, I quite like having to cap it off.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to gift you, to have that little feeling of, like, Indiana Jones just pulling his hat out from that closing slab or whatever it was. So you're welcome, mate.
Thank you very much. He's such a generous man, isn't he, Jim? All Arsenal fans are, actually, I've found, in this room, you know.
Yeah.
If I was comparing North London clubs and their generosity.
Thanks, mate.
Bloody hell, that's an early start for us, isn't it? and let's make a start, shall we? Because Newcastle, well, we're going to talk about this, the kind of plundering generally of relegated clubs into the Championship by Premier League clubs who are looking to enhance their general prospects in this new season. But we're also going to talk about Mike Ashley's late attempt to endear himself.
Yeah.
To Newcastle fans. I don't know about you guys, but this has really rather taken me by surprise.
Champion of the little guy, Mike Ashley. Yeah, where did this come from?
So there was a statement out from Newcastle last night explaining or saying anyway, that Newcastle United can confirm that the Premier League has rejected a takeover bid made by PZP Capital Partners, the Rubin Brothers, and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, based on its owners and directors test. Okay, so confirming that that takeover bid failed the Premier League's owners and directors test. But the final sentence of the statement was the one that caught my eye, which was, Mike Ashley understands fans' frustrations and would like to reassure him that he has been fully committed to ensuring this takeover process reached completion, as he felt it was in the best interests of the club. That's nice, aww, isn't it?
What a servant to the people of Newcastle he's been. They're so lucky to have had him, aren't they? They'll all be sad to see the back of him, I'm sure, on this evidence. He's just trying to do what's best for the area and the club, and for Ant and Deck, for Jimmy Nail, for Sting, just for that bridge. For Newquay Brown Ale, for all of it. What a guy. Mm. What a guy.
You redecorate a couple of fireplaces and people are all over you, aren't they? And they've failed to look at what you actually do. And
exactly.
That is, you know.
They're looking at the puke, not the man.
Yeah, yeah. And you should never judge a man on his vomit.
No.
Really?
I don't think you should.
I think you should. I mean, you can tell a hell of a lot about someone from the consistency of their vomit.
Yeah, but only in the short term. You don't really know much about them as a person. At the most, you understand what they've had for lunch or dinner the night before.
Yeah. And what they've been drinking, generally.
And what they've been drinking, yeah.
Because the... Yeah.
But the it is quite the turn, isn't it? You know what? It is so hard to draw the line between this kind of football politicking and, I suppose, the current government as it is now, where we're in a situation where information can be weaponized and it doesn't even need to be correct information. So he's probably seen this situation arise, and Newcastle having bought a few players and a few very shrewd signings, it should be said, probably sees this as a point where, right, I can really kind of build on this high here and come out with this statement. Because, you know, we know exactly the situations that led to this takeover not going through. And, you know, Pete spoke very, very eloquently about the nature of wanting to get rid of Mike Ashley and also being very wary about where these new owners were going to come from. And Ashley is, you know, an opportunist in every sense. That's probably how you end up with as much money as he has. Yeah. And this is kind of a bit pathetic, but it will weaponize the right people, won't it? It will weaponize the people who can, you know, the trolls and whatnot. I don't even want to say but, because I think it's important to realize that a lot of those people are people who either want to hammer journalists for doing their jobs, or Newcastle fans who are just a bit on the wrong side of this argument.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is his chance to insert himself in a very positive light in the narrative, isn't it? Certainly. Because now they've got this idea that, or he's certainly trying to put forward the idea that he is doing everything he can to make the evil Premier League back down.
Yeah,
like framing himself as like this plucky little billionaire against the Premier League is quite clever. I don't know how many people will fall for it, particularly because, as we understand it, the bid hasn't been allowed. They're trying to get it going again, aren't they? But like, if they can't, then I'm sure he'd like people to like him for a little while while he tries and sells it.
Oh, everyone wants to be liked.
Exactly.
Even Mike Ashley, that's what we learned today. The thing I was just quickly going to say is that naming Rich Masters as well is a little bit unpleasant.
Devious, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, in a sense, it's all right, or it's less toxic maybe to kind of rail at an institution.
Yeah, I know
but
what
if
you mean,
you're targeting a single person,
it's an attempt to put the pressure on, isn't it? And to try and get this deal going again. So it's hard to know the ins and outs of exactly why it wasn't ratified, and whether there is actually any realistic option for them to get it going again. But Ashley is trying to put that pressure on, isn't he? So I guess we'll see. And it's a bit unsavoury, really, isn't it? It's like they've said no, and they're trying to sort of drag it into the public again to put pressure on the Premier League themselves via the you know, the bid from the Saudi consortium. And I thought this was done, but I guess we're going to see. I'm surprised that this has come out again today. Do you know what I mean? This feels like old news, but obviously it's back on the agenda for Ashley, so we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think it's convenient. I don't think it's inconvenient as well that the Premier League starts on the weekend. Mm. And I was going to say the game's on Sky. It was always going to be on Sky, and now all games are on TV now.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
But, you know, instead of chance about Ashley, there'll be a few chants about the Premier League and Richard Masters, and it would have done the job then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right. How does someone get to be that quote unquote successful, because as we know in podcasting, you can't see the quotes, you can't see the hand quotes.
Yeah. You can try and change your voice a bit,
yeah,
but it doesn't really work, does it?
Okay, successful.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I could do that. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of success, though, potentially in that Premier League that will be starting on Saturday, they've been making some good signings, as you related to, and in fact, quite a few good signings coming in. As I said, many of which are from the Championship now, as it is. Jamal Lewis and Ryan Fraser have arrived at Newcastle. Ryan Fraser also trying to turn the tide of public opinion, let's say, because of course he didn't play and was out of contract and concerned about what would happen if he, for example, got a big injury, which is a common concern, seems like.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he would have had to sign a little brief contract extension to keep playing. But it's not like other players haven't done that. Yeah, it was a risk that he'd get injured. But doesn't every player take that risk every time they step onto the pitch? You know, it's a little bit...
But if you're about to have a transfer or if that's... It's like in... I don't know if you guys have seen the most recent episodes of All or Nothing. Are you watching the episodes of All or Nothing?
Yes,
not.
Yeah.
Jim, is... I mean, it could give you more ammunition.
Yeah, maybe it would. So, I just can't bear spending my time in the presence of that lot.
Oh,
so,
bless you. Eriksen talking about his transfer and Mourinho says, you know, whether or not he intends for this to be the case, there is a sense to which you can see why people would hold back and be concerned about that, and that might affect their performance on the pitch. Mm. But of course, that's a moot point if you're not going to be on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think about this from an empathetic point of view, because the optics were very bad when it came out, and any statement he was going to make was always going to look bad, because ultimately it was to get a move elsewhere and to ensure that, you know, he could command the right wage and also the right club as well, and that comes from being physically fit and able to start again, because I think even then we knew that the next season was going to come around pretty quickly. And I suppose it all depends on his position. I know that, you know, footballers do get paid a lot of money, but that money means different things to different players. We don't know his situation behind the scenes. We don't know how many people he's supporting. Not that it wouldn't be enough money to do that, but I just think, you know, I'm kind of reticent to hammer players, especially when we've seen so many good things from them recently in terms of social, writing social wrongs and things like that. And obviously, I'm not saying that Ryan Fraser is, you know, taking that money and throwing it out in the street and, he's a Robin Hood of the Premier League, per se. But, you know, I'm very wary of judging him outright. But, you know, it's something that he's going to have to hold for a while. He could probably wear quite well, because it takes a lot of balls to take that stance in the first place.
Yeah.
Especially in the current climate, knowing, you know, how it's going to be thrown back in your face. But, you know, from a football point of view, it's a very good signing, for a free as well. You know, they've done some really good
business.
They
really have.
Mike Ashley's a very smart man.
He's a very shrewd operator.
He's really been misunderstood all these years.
So lucky
I'm starting
to, have him.
To see that now.
I think as well, it's good business in terms of all of the players that they've signed, because they've signed them from Bournemouth and Norwich. Because at the end of the transfer window, there is this bizarre little period where clubs from the Premier League and EFL can only deal with each other, rather than, you know, Premier League clubs can only sign from the Championship, etc., etc. So when that happens, there's going to be a scramble for those players. For any clubs that haven't finished their business are going to be going, all right, what can we pick up from the lower leagues? And Newcastle have been very, very canny in getting ahead of that and making sure that these players are there now and that they're not going to have competition from elsewhere. So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
Jamal Lewis as well, another signing, joining from Norwich, another good example of that, for around £15 million. And in the running order, it says, probably because of goal. Who can say? Another example of this is Everton's latest signing, Abdoulaye Doucouré. So he's joining from Watford for £20 million. Watford only prepared to sell after they were relegated. Makes perfect sense. He says, I had some interest from other clubs, but from the beginning, when Everton showed an interest in me, I told my agent to focus on Everton. It was the only club I wanted to join. And of course, he's joining a whole host of new signings. Is anyone a tiny bit concerned about Everton's wage bill?
I'm not going to go as far as to say concerned. It's not going to keep me up at night.
You cold, ruthless man, Campbell. It's classic Campbell.
I guess they're making moves, aren't they? They really, really are. It's potentially quite risky. I mean, I don't know what these players are on.
But the thing is, they keep signing from, you know, obviously, James Rodriguez. If you sign from a club as big as Real Madrid, presumably the wages are commensurate with that.
True, but I wonder actually if it's a canny bit of business from Everton in that, in you know, with COVID ball, perhaps people are maybe willing to accept slightly lower wages, which would kind of, this is all speculation, obviously, but maybe that brings players down into a bracket where they're a bit more affordable for a club outside of European competition. So who knows? But it's a great signing, James Rodriguez for Everton. I know it's been said, but like it is really potentially fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing him just get a run in a team, you know.
Seeing him on a weekly basis as well is quite exciting. Decore is an interesting one because a couple of shows ago, I made an absolute mug of myself when I was talking about Gylfi Sigurdsson and Everton fans, because there was a period when Silva was sacked and he was playing under Duncan Ferguson, where he was, you know, quite, we obviously know what he does on the ball, but he was quite back and forth. That lasted about three games. But in my head, it lasted four
months. Not longer, yeah.
So I was a bit like, oh, you know, they've warmed to him. And I got a load of messages, rightly so, calling me out for it, because it was wrong, because Sigurdsson has been one of the players that they've probably hammered, because he went for a huge fee, you know, 47 million or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the issues they said was that because of the fee, they kind of felt they had to play him. And one of the issues with Everton's midfield last year was a real lack of energy and a lack of bite.
Yeah.
And he became a lightning rod for that. So Decore is quite an interesting one because he's played a couple of different roles at Watford, as you probably would when you're playing in that side who are kind of pushing for mid-table and then dropping down. So he's been a deep-lying playmaker. He doesn't necessarily have like the best pass completion stats. But as things were kind of going down the pan for Watford, they basically moved him further forward and he became a bit of a driving force through the middle.
He's a very direct player, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then there are a few kind of like Hollywood moments of like passes played on the volley with the outside of his foot. So he definitely has a lot of that stuff within him. But he's a proper box-to-box player. And given the players that they've signed, given they signed Rodriguez and Allen, you can imagine that he'd have a more reserved role rather than having to do everything. Because I suppose that's the other issue. If you're going to play for a side that they want you to do everything, you yourself would probably be happy to do that. But from the outside, when we judge them, we're like, what are you actually good at? Like, if you could have it your way, what would you do? And I think at Everton, he could have it his own way and play in a preferred position, which, from my point of view, seems to be more withdrawn and not relied on to do everything.
Mm. Well, they play Tottenham on Sunday, don't they, Everton? So
certainly do.
I mean, I would be...
You'll be watching.
I will, I absolutely will. I'd be very surprised, though, if they start their midfielders, Decore, Allen and Rodriguez.
Don't say that, I'm going to that game.
That's what you want.
It would be good, wouldn't it? But the wider point here is that because the window is, so far from being shut, clubs are still doing a lot of business. I know this is not the first time it's been the case, but I feel like this season more than ever, very few squads are actually settled into the shape they're going to finish at this point. So this first round of games is going to be very bizarre in terms of what teams a lot of managers field. I think Everton are a really good example of that. Like, how quickly do you try and bed these players in, and how many of them do you do that with? I think we're probably going to see a lot of lineups of teams that almost look a bit pre-season-y, where squad players are getting a run out just because they're familiar.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Spurs won't yet have their returning signing, Gareth Bale.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, still got to figure out the wage situation.
Well,
with
Real Madrid going to pay, supposedly. This is more like in this section of the running order that says rumours, I guess. But yeah, Real Madrid are going to pay 50% of his salary, supposedly, to allow him to move on from the Bernabeu after, well, we heard from him, was it last week? Recently, anyway, that his move had been blocked and he said he was happy to go.
I'm surprised that that's worked out for him.
Yeah, me too.
Try and chin Real Madrid. They don't tend to take too kindly to it. But if he gets a move and he still gets his huge wages, that's what he's claiming he wants, isn't it?
And it seems like that is a process that's coming to be quite normal for some of these players who are basically being paid too well to get moves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Clubs have to do it.
Priced out of the sport. It's absurd, isn't it? How would you feel about him like returning? Would you be happy about it?
I guess.
Look at that smile.
I don't want to be too needy because obviously he did leave us.
Yeah.
And that we had this really sad experience of seeing Modric and him, you know, holding the Champions League trophy in kits that are obviously white and look a lot like Spurs kits in some respects. But, you know, he gave me a lot of great memories as a player. And this I would have that back.
sounds like secondary school sweetheart into first year of university. Doesn't work long distance. Friends at Christmas, meet up for a drink every now and again.
Yeah. It's ships in the
make
night.
Mistakes every now and again. Yeah.
It was just also sounds like you feel like you're a Spurs player and you're trying not to say too much to jeopardise the move or like just stick with the party line. What do you, Kate Mason, what do you think? It's okay if you want him to come back.
Surely it would just be amazing. But you obviously wouldn't want a situation as we had before where he was kind of just winning the game. I mean, it's obviously lovely to win games, but you don't necessarily want to be building your whole strategy around, oh, Gareth Bale will probably score in the last couple of minutes.
Especially now he's a bit older and he's not played so much. We're yet to see, you know, I don't know, it's so hard to know what kind of player he would be back in the Premier League now. Yeah. I think it'd be great to see him back here, even for Spurs, I have to say. I really like Gareth Bale as a player and I just feel, again, we just don't see him enough.
I know, it seems like a waste. And obviously, as we were saying with Ryan Fraser and any of these guys, it's up to them. Footballer's career is absurdly short. And they have to do what's best for them. But it does seem a shame to miss out on seeing a player like that do what he's gifted at.
Yeah, but do you not think Spurs are in a better place in terms of their quality-wise, they're a bit better than when he left. And they're more consistent.
Oh, thanks. not in the Champions League, though.
No, but bear in mind, you know, you had Van der Vaart, Modric, and, you know,
well, yeah, quite.
Good, Darren Lennon and Kyle Walker. You know.
So, yeah, I don't know.
But I feel like you're more consistent in terms of your forward players, like him and Son and Kane and Moura, Celso.
So he could, perhaps he could be the backup striker. He could just, because, you know, he's a bit older now, perhaps he could just be the backup striker to Harry Kane that we need.
Yeah, you won't have to rely on him to do as much running, you'd think.
Would Jose like that, though? It doesn't seem a very Mourinho signing, does it?
Although he's constantly on about how great he is.
Yeah, I think he's a very Mourinho signing. I think he's got his generals, hasn't he? And
yeah.
I think he just wants a bit more quality from anywhere. Mm. You know, obviously you haven't seen All or Nothing, but a lot of All or Nothing is him basically in his office swearing at a TV screen, looking for players to bring in, really, and dealing with a squad that's constantly getting injured. And so, you know, bear in mind that was only a couple of months ago that all
stopped. Really,
so I think he'd be glad of anyone and someone of Bale's quality. Let's say if he's still maybe three quarters of the player that you sold, I think you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Oh, for God's sake. And also this whole thing, not to compare Gareth Bale to Joe Hart, but there is this sense like he's someone who's been out in the world and has won trophies and knows what that's like. And even if he was a tenth of the player that he has been, you know, if that's the kind of mentality you want to inject into your dressing room, then that's a pretty good way of doing it. Now, you guys don't have to... We On the Continent is out later today, so, you know, we'll obviously leave all of the main European news to those guys who can handle it with great aplomb. But interesting to see Antonio Conte's fetish for former Premier League players goes on. Just signed 34-year-old Alexander Kolarov, who joins Inter from Roma on a 2-year deal. I actually thought this was a massive kind of... It feels like Inter is just populated with loads of former Premier League players, doesn't it? But actually looking at the starting lineup for the Europa League, there were only two. I mean, 2 of 11 is quite a lot, but Ashley Young and Romelu Lukaku in the start of that. But
yeah, you got Sanchez there as well, obviously.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like... It's like a Premier League B-side album. But that's obviously a very England-centric way to look at Inter. But I don't know. I like this narrative, so I'm joining in.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't get the impression that Conte particularly enjoyed the Premier League that much. Yeah, he's got all these little trinkets.
What does he enjoy,
it?
Though?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hair. Fire?
Yeah.
Hair and fire.
Fire, I reckon.
Like,
staring
pyromania.
At it.
Like making it, putting his hand in it. I think he's a bit...
Is this some
staring at it until it goes out?
Yeah.
Is this some sort of story that you've got in the background here? Or is this just your kind of projection?
I think he sees, you know, you often gravitate to like-minded individuals. I think he gravitates to like-minded elements, and I think fire is one of them.
So
is
fire rather than ice? Or
sees a lot of himself in fire, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What particular characteristics?
Just that he's, even when he's happy, he's angry.
Yeah, there's a quiet fury to him, isn't there?
And it's not even that quiet.
No,
it's like
really
forest fire.
Quite loud and sweary, isn't it? That's been one of the joys, hasn't it? Like if you don't have the sound, the fake crowd sound on, you could really hear some of those creative things that Antonio Conte says.
Not to go a bit pee, but I reckon he would, you know, in a moment of ecstasy, let's say, I think he would swear quite loudly and regularly. I mean, he would, but like in a really.
Where has that come from?
Just, I thought, am I going to say it? And I thought, I think this is probably the best it's way to articulate at this point. Yeah, but I reckon he.
So you mean like, you know, when watching a really good goal or something?
Yes. Yeah. Or stepping on a really good piece of Lego, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, guys, let's go to a break and we'll mull on that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
You've never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
I love the fact with the Football Ramble these days, you can't skip any bit of it. Welcome back, by the way, because you don't know if Sven's going to turn up. Is he going to happen? Is he coming into this next part? You just can't know.
Who knows?
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good at many topics today.
Yes, lovely Daniel Farker sitting in the corner of our studio.
Yeah.
Announcing the topics.
He's been very patient, hasn't
he? Very well behaved. You'd thought he'd chip in a bit more, or chip off, I guess, but no.
He's very respectful man.
Very respectful man.
He's taken more clothes off, though. It's a bit weird. It's quite warm in here, I suppose.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You can sign anyone for your club, but they can't be a player. Who would it be, and what would they be doing?
So, Nicholas Ranioni has been in touch. Fantastic name. Greetings from Texas. If the hearing problems genuinely can't be overcome, I want to see famous Geordie / famouser ex-Geordie the band frontman Brian Johnson take over as Newcastle United PR man. But every official club statement must be composed entirely of AC/DC lyrics. The Premier League could use a load more official double entendres. Shoot to thrill, play to kill, lads. That is very niche. Incredibly niche. But I'm into it.
I've just got Back in Black and White in my head.
Nice.
But you'd have to re-sign like Andy Carroll, then you'd have to re-sign other players.
Yeah. I mean, but Andy Carroll, as someone who has re-signed, it just counts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's one. Got one from Joe Bartlett here. I'm a Southampton fan, and I'd employ Harry Redknapp to clean the toilet.
Fine.
Okay, sure.
Okay, I guess.
With his hands tied behind his back.
Ooh.
Hang on a sec.
Yeah, you have to get creative to wonder how he's going to do that.
So his hands are
none of the options are pleasant, are they?
But also he's going to start trying to with the toilet brush in his mouth.
Yeah, you would assume.
You think he gets...
But he'll try it, won't he? And then he'll be like, this is ineffective. Well, I mean, presumably they'll be there, wouldn't they?
But I mean, I guess Harry Redknapp has been in the jungle, hasn't he?
Yeah.
For the I'm a Celebrity. So he probably is quite good at like...
What, licking toilets? He's probably got good at licking toilets because he was in the jungle.
Well, I guess creating tools from stuff. And
but he has his hands tied behind his
creating
back.
Creating tools. Yeah. He's going to whittle a toilet brush with his teeth.
Do that sexy thing of like tying a cherry stem in a knot with his teeth and then using that to clean the toilet.
That's very inventive.
Yeah, that would be.
In fact, I don't know why I describe that as sexy. I've never understood why people find... Oh, no. Actually, hold on.
Hang on.
But Harry Redknapp doing it... Harry
it's
Redknapp
not sexy,
doing it wouldn't
it?
Be sexy, no. The chairman probably deals with that anyway.
Sorry, say that again.
The chairman deals with that.
The stones.
One or the other. Either cleaning out the toilet or the cherry stems, yeah.
Stems. Yeah, probably deals with that, I'd imagine. Alex on Twitter, thanks for tweeting. Nick Knowles for Newcastle, so he can do a bit of DIY SOS on the training ground. That's nice. I like the way that people are addressing this topic differently. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, some as a kind of a revenge idea, some as a form of entertainment. This one's just sort of quite useful,
just,
I think.
Yeah, just quite pleasant.
Yeah.
It's quite practical.
Like Alan Titchmarsh on Classic FM.
Mm.
I guess Why is he on Classic FM, by the way?
I don't get that either.
Old and grey.
So like old, the link they're making
Fusty.
There is just old people like
old people like Titchmarsh
music.
And classical music, I would think. To me, that's a match made.
Because surely they'd have to rotate and say for our generation of oldness, who would be our Titchmarsh?
Yeah, because there's some like sexy, there's like a sexy youngish our sort of age woman on Classic FM, I think.
Right.
So maybe we
they're
just
grooming
get,
her for
maybe we just
for
get
oldness. Right.
Yeah, because I guess one day fish. Yes, one day sooner for some of us than for others, Jim. We're going to be old.
You make it sound like something bad's going to happen to him when he leaves the studio.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It does. Like I'm going to fall over and like shatter my hip or something. Just
you
I'm
do that anyway, though,
in
don't
my 30s.
You?
I do that anyway. Yeah. I will be particularly susceptible to that, actually.
A fall can be dangerous for the elderly.
It can.
I hope that doesn't happen.
It's like all right. You're not necessarily going to make that happen by mentioning it,
no.
Kate. It's okay.
But it will be your fault.
Unless you have some sort of weird power that you're not telling us about.
Just hitmen that I'm friends with.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
So yeah, bear that in mind, listeners.
That I'm friends with. I hit men that I'm friends with.
Who, like, you know, yeah.
Get to know them really well.
Oh, I thought you meant you knew a hitman and they would like do you a favour. You get like a free one.
Oh, I thought you said you hit men.
Oh, God, no.
That you're friends with.
Jim, what Jim said.
Either way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got hitmen that I'm friends with.
Right, right, okay.
Do you a free one here and there?
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got business to run. So I wouldn't expect that. Like
Kate's rates. Mate's rates, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I always pay my way.
Kate's rates.
Kate's rates, sure. Yeah. Very. Very much so. All right, let's talk about... and thanks for tweeting in and emailing us. Show at thefootballrambledaily.com or just tweet us at footballramble.
Yeah, get in touch.
We'd love to hear from you. Tell us all the good things about your lives.
Don't make us feel too bad, though.
No, try not to. Let's talk a little bit about Gareth Ainsworth, shall we?
Yeah, he did a really interesting interview in The Guardian, didn't he?
Yeah, and so... He is someone whose style we have admired in the past. We like how he looks like a kind of aging rocker.
He's in a band, isn't he?
Right.
So he sort of is.
Yeah. This talked a bit about, I mean, it talked obviously about Wickham's amazing journey from League Two to the Championship. They didn't pay, they sort of did a potch, if you like, not paying for anybody over the course of the 8 seasons. Okay, slightly more than what Poch did.
I mean, that is phenomenal, isn't it?
Is it
like, not paying for a player over that long. It shows you what an absurd job he's done. Like, so, so good to even tread water in that situation, let alone achieve things.
Yeah,
it's really something.
It's absolutely amazing. But what's been interesting is that there has been this focus, such a focus on like him looking slightly different
to
everyone else, which, given, I mean, it's not that much different, is it? It sort of reminded me a little bit about, you know, how Hamburg apparently were thinking about having Jürgen Klopp as their new boss, and then someone went and scouted him and saw that he was like wearing holy jeans or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't think he's right.
Holy jeans.
Not jeans that have been consecrated by the Pope, jeans with holes in.
That's
a yeah. But it reminds me of the whole Ronaldinho is too ugly to play for Real Madrid thing, like, which is apparently something one of the directors actually said before he'd signed for Barcelona when they were very much in the race. But yeah, I mean, this interview, it mentions him being, spoken about with having a sort of like rock god look. And I think we're really at a point where the length of someone's hair is acceptable shorthand for assumptions about their personality. Like, it is... He likes rock music rather than dance music. It's not. Is it? Is that really so bohemian and outlandish? It's not weird, is it? It's. I find it so, so weird, and it's kind of perhaps it's indicative of how like old fashioned and sort of, I suppose, intellectually barren a lot of football is, and by extension the kind of middle aged to old men that run it. That's still a talking point. His hair's long. That what difference does that make to the job he's going
to
do?
You've cut to the core of my profession, basically. Because that is essentially it. They've just described their favourite dad in their dad's WhatsApp group. Like, oh, he looks pretty cool. He wears jean jackets.
Mm.
Why can't I wear jean jackets? He wears them. And you know, he's a good looking man. He pulls off the look well, and the reason he pulls it off well is because he doesn't really think about it. And when you start talking about it in the way that he's always talked about, because yeah, there's a lot of mention of his hair, and he does look different to traditional managers, but where what? 5 years away from getting a league full of managers with tattoo sleeves.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
It's just part of that evolution, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
You know, he looks after himself better than previous players did, and he was of what played during the noughties, to a decent standard. So he's kept himself in that shape. More and more players, as they make that transition, are going to do that. It's just something we're going to have to get used to. You know, would I like to fast forward to that period where Hector Bellerin is a manager? Yes, I would.
Who wouldn't?
But, you know, you have to do the hard yards, and this is part of it. But you're absolutely spot on. It's about... It's one of the... It talks of a wider issue within football about what people talk of as the... In quite coded language, about the ghettoisation of football, about football coverage, about when people have a go at certain institutions and... radio shows here and there, trying to, I suppose, lower the average age of their fan base and doing it in a certain way. And a lot of people are very against that, even though that a lot of footballers talk in a similar way or have similar interests, and are probably more, and those people are probably more reflective of football now than the kind of blood and guts, small boys in the park, jumpers for goalposts type shite.
Yeah.
So this is a small drop in the ocean of that wider issue. But you spoke of it there very well. Yeah. Mm. It's
almost
old people wanting to be young.
It's an old fashioned kind of almost anachronistic version of that same thing, isn't it? Where you can imagine people talking about that in like the 70s, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
you know, get rid of those sideburns sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
it's very strange to me that to read that in 2020.
But maybe this is a gateway situation. Maybe Gareth Ainsworth with the long hair is that gateway that we need. I mean, they're going to be, if people are worried about his long hair now, they're going to be pretty distressed when Emma Hayes is managing in the men's top flight.
But I mean, that in itself is quite interesting, isn't it? Because one of the things that my partner used to play for Leyton Orient, and she spoke about this all the time, and it's very similar to the chef complex in professional, professional chefs, that traditionally, women would do all the cooking at home, but then the professional chefs would all be men.
Yeah.
And so she was like, it would be interesting when that transition starts to take place, because it will happen with a member of the backroom staff, and it will be all focused on their appearance.
Yeah.
And they'll be judged the other way. For example, Marta, when people were always talking about her
lipstick
wearing eyeliner
stuff,
and wearing makeup, and her whole ethos was, look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of male players do anyway, but you're suddenly judged by a completely different standard when you're a woman. And like, Emma Hayes is a great example of someone who's just like, oh, this is just how I dress, like, deal with it, this is just how I am. But and that's perpetuated throughout the women's game. But she's one of the few female manager still in top flight women's football as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we will see. And thanks, Gareth, for, you know, bringing your locks to the party, frankly. Now, look, it's Thursday, but an early edition of Luke's Game for the two of you. Jefferson Louis is signed for his 40th club. How many can you do? I've got one.
There's a few in the running order, so
yeah,
I can do
I'll
those.
Do that one.
41 years old, the man. Just signed for Beaconsfield Town in the Southern League Premier South. Started playing in 1996.
I love that.
What a legend.
Still playing since 96. Started around the year 96, still going. What a life he must have lived. 40, was it 40 clubs now? Did you just say 40 clubs?
40, that is, yes.
Brilliant.
How does he work it on a CV? Because they say, you know...
only includes...
You've got to have one page.
Yeah.
Ask for additional references.
Yeah, it's...
That's actually a great question.
Yeah. There's not going to be gaps, though.
I suppose you could just like list, today. Couldn't you, like in a main block paragraph?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or played for clubs including...
Yeah, oh, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because with all due respect to them, probably Risborough Rangers are quite low on that list if he's going to list the... You know, Oxford United are in there.
Yeah, but sometimes you maybe want to, you know, really make a thing of where you came from.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. Makes you well. You need that youth career, don't you? So maybe yeah. That's part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Show your heritage.
Do you think he just like lives in a motorhome? Just aww. Makes more sense because
he's going to move around so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like yeah. That climb, like Alex Honnold. You know who climbed El Cap with what's it called? Free climbing. Yeah, you know, yeah. Not attached.
He free solo. The movie's called
free
isn't it?
Solo.
It's
exactly.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And really terrifying
he's
as well.
He's a strange man, yeah. Isn't he? But yeah, he lives in a motorhome, I guess, because he just wants to go where the big rocks are.
Yeah, and this man's just following the balls.
Yeah.
What?
Is that just a normal phrase?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Also following the balls, shall we, is Kevin De Bruyne, who has been announced PFA Player of the Year, Men's Player of the Year. And he celebrated, I guess, that victory with an extraordinary cinematic offering.
Yeah.
I think I'd call it. I don't know if you've seen it, guys, on Twitter. It sort of starts with like kind of Sherlocky music, you know, from that BBC series, yes. And it pans out across the Manchester skyline, and then there's a voiceover. So he's in vision, but he's not talking. He's talking over pictures of himself, and he's like, I never cared much about personal trophies. And then there's a whole load of pictures of him with personal trophies. It's confusing.
It's quite a narrative about how it's all about the team, but it's all shot in black and white. There is quite unsettling music underneath it. It looks a bit like an ident from MTV in 1997 or MTV Europe, if anyone remembers that. Or also that episode of The Simpsons where Barney Gumble makes a film. And it's just about, it's in black and white and it's about his life and it's all a bit intense and sort of art house and strange. It's just a bit like that. It's just, I don't know why this exists. I don't know what the point is that he's making. It's like, he didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
So why are people doing acceptance videos for the award now?
Also, why are they doing them like that? Like, it really did look like he was joining the cast of Spooks for the new series, didn't it?
Oh, maybe. Well, they do say that about social media, is that you need to kind of, as you come to hit your high points, you need to show that you can diversify in order to be able to, like, win more followers. So maybe
It's all about a personal brand now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I suppose if you're at Man City and you're at the heart of one of the best international teams in the world, do you need to further your personal brand?
No, I think he's really seriously considering this.
It was quite sweet. I mean, he talked about, but he was like, you know, I like to feed my players, and then he talked about, you know, I always give, but I'll take this.
Yeah,
and it's just. I don't know. I mean, it was weird as well. But it was also, there was a sweetness to the coldness of the video, I thought.
Sweetness to the coldness of the video.
Yeah, because he clearly is someone who, I don't know, he's not the most marketable player, is he?
No, I guess not.
Even though he's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
He wears a suit quite uncomfortably. You never really see him being put forward as
shirts, doesn't he, that are designed to not be tucked in.
Oh, God. Guys, what is that? Sorry.
It's weird, isn't it?
To use you as a kind of focus group of men. But, like, I mean, yes, you haven't tucked in. Is it a shirt? Is it one of those shirts?
No, it's not.
Right, so the point I would think is that you can... I know they say these are special shirts for not being tucked in, but surely...
all men, shirts cannot men, be tucked in.
Many shirts. Your average kind of lumberjack shirt as well, in particular.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But like there are some shirts where they're a bit longer at the bottom, so you can tuck them in.
Mm. Ah.
So they've got a bit of leverage when you tuck them in, basically, so they don't just keep riding up.
These ones, I see.
But if you're listening to this and you've not seen this video, you're going to think, oh God, this sounds really weird. And it is. Like it is as weird as we're making it sound. It just throws up so many questions. So do check it out. It's on his Twitter.
Also, the thing about little short football videos for Twitter is it's so easy to make one that everyone just thinks is great. Just literally all you would have had to do was hit a whole load of highlights with a bit of rousing music.
Yeah,
and
a
just
football
like,
in the groin.
Boom, a slate at the end. What?
a football in the groin.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne. What is that?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Cockney rhyming song.
Hans Moltmann presents Kevin De Bruyne.
Well, I think that seems like a pretty good place to leave the studio on that. Tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Luke and Andy. They're going to be previewing, yes, the new Premier League season. Can you believe it? It's here again.
I can, and I also keep forgetting that it's back already. I'm really excited about it, actually. I know it's weird that it's back, but I'm just so glad it is. Yeah. I can't wait to get going.
It's nice to have actual.
See how everyone's doing.
It's nice to have actual football to talk about as well. Mm. I don't know how we got through this show, by the way. there was nothing to work with there. Credit to UK for running that. But my word, yeah. We got through it though, didn't we? And
we
have football.
We got through it, guys. Thank you for joining us on this torrid journey. Say goodbye, Vish.
Goodbye.
Bye, Jim.
Bye.
See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.